Good morning and welcome to New Song. It's a little different here this morning, doing this online. And so Jack and I are glad you've decided to join us for church this morning. And we're going to start out like we always do. We've got a song here. And before I know there's a few of you are going to wonder, hey, wait, are we allowed to record songs? It's all right. We're going to do public domain songs where we're completely license free to do that. But anyway, this is a great hymn that a lot of us know. So join with us right there. If you're watching from your phone or you're watching from your computer, that's fine. Nobody else around is going to hear you sing this morning. So you're
make a joyful
shape.
Noise.
That's right. Make a joyful noise. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. So, his oath, his covenant, his blood supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
He shall come.
He shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found. Cause in his righteousness alone, all blessed to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
All right. Pretty good, Jay.
Amen. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Thanks for playing. A number of passages have come to my mind, as probably for most of you, a number of truths. Just sort of kick in when we encounter particular situations and trials. Although I dare say probably none of us have ever encountered what we now face. And that is the point of the passage that I just want to start off with this morning from Joshua chapter 3. And this passage is right at the beginning of when the children of Israel are about ready to cross the Jordan River into the promised land, upwards of 600,000 to a million people. And in Joshua chapter 3, verse 2, it says, at the end of the 3 days, the officers went through the midst of the camp. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, with the Levite priests carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. However, there shall be between you and it a distance of about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. I have never pastored a congregation in the face of a pandemic. And I'm guessing actually you have not either. And this, of course, applies to all of us, no matter what your station in life is. Maybe you're a husband. And you've never been the spiritual leader for a wife in the face of this. How to pray, what to do. Maybe you're a mom and you've got kids. And what do I say to the kids? Or perhaps in the neighborhood you live in or in the job situation you're in. How do you act? What do you say? Well, this is a new one for all of us. But what we're encouraged to do, I believe, is in essence, keep our eyes on the Lord. Fix our eyes on him, as we're reminded in Hebrews 12. Because the Israelites also were venturing into an area that they'd never been in before. And so they were specifically instructed, lest they sort of crowd around the ark, which was in that time the place where the Lord was dwelling. Had the people in the front of the crowd gathered around, the people in back couldn't see the ark. So they're saying, look, stay back. 2,000 cubits was about half a mile, a little over half a mile. So if the crowd of people stayed back, everybody could see the Lord. And so what we want to do is just encourage you to have your eyes on the Lord. We realize that in some ways your eyes are on us as spiritual leaders, and we want to be faithful to encourage you and help you and give you instruction. But at the end of the day, it's really important that your eyes are on the Lord, because he's in control. He loves us as much as he ever has. Psalm 29. The last two verses are significant for a situation such as this. It says this: the Lord sat as king at the flood. If there ever was a time on planet Earth where arguably there was total chaos, or seemingly things were completely out of control — we know they weren't out of control, God was in control — God was seated, observing what was going on, controlling things. He was seated. He was in control. Yes, the Lord sits, present tense, sits as king forever. And then the very last verse: the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. We're confident in the Holy Spirit in you. We're confident that he is able to impart to you Christ's peace and Christ's strength. A couple other passages that come to mind. One is, as I mentioned a minute ago, just remember that God still loves us as much as he ever has. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows." God so highly values all of us, so much so he sent his son to die on the cross. And his love for us, his value for us, hasn't changed one iota, despite what seems to be a very chaotic and, frankly, on some levels, a frightening situation. But we just want to encourage you to remember the Lord's love for you. And then lastly, 1 Peter, this is a section that Jonah and I have been focusing on here really since the first of the year. Chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verse 13 says, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action." It's easy for our minds to get absorbed with all the information that's out there, and especially what's the latest information, because this is a situation, as we know, that is changing in some ways by the hour in terms of what the government is telling us and what people are saying. You can sure find there's a wide spectrum of stuff that people are saying out there. Be very careful about what you allow to fill into your mind. I'm not saying become an ostrich, stick your head in the sand and turn off the internet. I'm not saying that, but just be careful and be balanced, because it says gird your minds for what? For action. Because there are some things for you to do, I'm sure, that the Holy Spirit wants you to do that only you can do, given the network of relationships that you're in. I remember hearing a message many years ago by Elizabeth Elliott, the widow of the missionary Jim Elliott. And she was saying that something that really helps her in times when she feels overwhelmed is to think about, okay, what is the next thing that the Lord wants me to do? Okay, the next thing the Lord wants me to do is perhaps call my friend and check on them and see how they're doing and just encourage. The next thing is just to call on a neighbor. The next thing is to, I don't know, cook dinner, whatever it is. to do that thing in the power of the Holy Spirit. What we want to do is, our tendency is to try to get the macro picture and understand, how is this all going to play out? The reality is, none of us really knows. There are people out there that are on extreme sides. Some are saying, look, this is nothing. People are blowing it way out of proportion. It's really virtually nothing. There are people on the other end of the spectrum that I'm even afraid to say the number. There are people saying that a lot of people could die with all of this. And the reality is, we don't really know what's going to happen. But we know God's in control. And we just need to fix our minds on, prepare our minds for action. It says, keep sober in spirit and fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I believe we're going to come out of this. In the end, it may end up being pretty bad. The end of things, though, is going to be when the grace of God fully is revealed to us when Christ comes back. And ultimately, that is what our hope is in. Yeah. So those are some of my thoughts. I have more, but I'll just stop there for now.
Yeah, I like in that verse, Peter says, being sober-minded. And he used that again in the fifth chapter when he's talking to elders specifically. I remember that. Sober-minded in a time where there's a lot of uncertainty among family and coworkers and neighbors. This is a great time for the light of Christ to shine, because we really don't have to be afraid in a time like this. You know, it sounds maybe a little bit crass to say, but you know, what's the worst that can happen? We're with Jesus earlier. But a lot of people don't have that hope. And so this is a time when we can share that hope with them.
Yeah. God is still at work. And I believe that God even has already used and will continue to use this to shake people who don't have Christ, who don't know Christ, and to show them what they're hoping in, what they're relying upon, is really shaky. And as we met today, actually just a few minutes ago, I reminded him of an old hymn. In times like these, we need a savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. Be very sure. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. So ask yourself that question. What is my anchor really in? Is it in the government? Is it in the medical people that they're going to figure this out? Is it that somehow in fate that this is all going to turn out okay? Or is it really in Christ? And if God uses something like this to shake people's foundations, to show them that what they're trusting in is shaky and they need something solid, then that's a good thing. I heard that just this last Friday night. Some of you are aware that Sam Iani on most weekends participates in what's called the Christian Accountability Network, where people who have gotten DUIs are permitted to, by the judge, to go to a weekend event. And one of the non-compulsory aspects of the weekend event would be to hear Sam share the gospel. And just this last Friday night, four people prayed to receive Christ with one of the other people in the ministry, and five people, so a total of nine people, asked Christ into their lives on Friday night. I have to believe that somehow what contributed to their coming to faith in Christ was a realization. Not only had this person sort of gotten in hot water with the DUI, and that was indicative of an issue in their life, but as they look around, they realize, wow, there's so much in this world that is that can't be relied upon, and where am I going in my life? So be aware of opportunities, unprecedented opportunities you may have to communicate with people in your neighborhood, people at work. I was dropping my daughter off at her neighborhood in Pickerington the other day, and we couldn't help but notice the number of people out walking. Why? What else are you going to do? Everything else is canceled. Yeah. And a lot of people are encouraged to work from home, so people have time and people are around. You might be seeing your neighbors a lot more these days, and that's a good thing. And maybe the door will open for an opportunity for you to share about your eternal and solid hope in Jesus Christ.
So we do have some announcements this morning. Anything else you want to say on
message from not me? At the moment. Go ahead. I might think of something else.
All right.
Go ahead.
A little something you may not know about Jack. He does not like to call what we call the church. He calls the building. All right. Because the church is the people. It's not the building where we meet.
Amen, brother.
So he says, I will meet you at the building. He says this intentionally many times as we're talking. And you may have picked up on that. So we and you together are the church. Because we're not at this building on Sunday mornings, really doesn't impact who the church is. And we are where Jesus sent us to be among everyone else who needs to hear the good news. So we have some plans to help us have a virtual church existence as far as a meeting time here on Sunday mornings. And I want to kind of go over some of those things with you. I know some of you may be technically savvy. Some of you may not. In the world where we live, the internet is the easiest way to get in touch with everybody. So we'll try to use some familiar means for most of you. But some of these means that we're going to talk about may not be familiar for folks. So if possible, perhaps those of you who are a little more technically savvy could take your computer, your laptop, your phone, and go visit someone and help them watch the messages from Jack and I each week, if that's helpful. And, you know, I'm thinking Bert and Judy are probably not allowed to have visitors right now where they are in their care facility. So it may not work in all cases, but in some cases. But I want to go over a couple things. First off, as we said in the email this week, we want you to care for one another. And Jack and I will be calling on some of you throughout the next few weeks just to check in. But we also want you to take care of one another. We have life groups for this purpose, to look after one another and be the body of Christ, be in each other's lives, call, look after. And I want to be clear, too. We should probably talk about why we canceled all the meetings. It was a difficult decision. Jack and I talked about it at length. We talked with the board. We also talked to other Great Commission churches. And we had some advice from the NAE, the National Association of Evangelicals, that John Hoffler has, and lots of advice coming out to churches about this time. And we had fully intended on meeting. A matter of fact, we actually had ordered little individual communion cups so that nobody would have to touch each other's communion wafers or juice or anything. And we were planning to meet, and then the governor came out with this recommendation on Thursday. It said, please, religious organizations, we're not telling you can't meet. This is not persecution from the government. You're welcome to meet, but we would encourage you to instead meet remotely. So we decided as it would be best for us to comply with the governor's wishes, following the scriptures, you know, in charge to us to be a good citizen and to obey the authorities as much as possible. So we'll do that. We also canceled life groups, and I know that might be a surprise to some of you. You know, it's only, you know, a few people at the house. What's the big deal? But, you know, we love each other so much that sometimes we get together even when we're sick, when we know we're not supposed to. And we wanted you to just, you know, avoid any contact with folks who are not feeling well right now. But by all means, don't hear Jack and I saying that you can't do meetings in your house. Okay. You can't get together with people. That's not what we're saying. As a matter of fact, we were just talking about this earlier. We encourage you to spend some time with one another, you know, just not in a large group setting. So if you want to have someone over to your house, you know, in a smaller setting, you know, please do that, or call people, whatever you want to do to get together, because I really miss, we didn't want to cancel our Sunday morning meetings and our life groups. I really miss that fellowship. It's important. It's vital to my health as a believer, and yours as well. And so we want you to continue to look after one another, check on one another. So do that and visit as appropriate there. Also, just kind of a random point here, Ohio poll worker, somebody told me that it's voting on Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
So I know Jim and Judy Zollinger typically are working in the polls, and a lot of elderly people staff the polls. If you can help volunteer in your community with the polls, so some of the elderly people aren't exposed to the community as much as they would be working the polls, that would be helpful. Pray for those folks. Also, this quarantine for now is only about 3 weeks. Everything I've heard in the news said that this could go April or May was when it could peak even. So we don't know how long we'll be in this way meeting, but it may impact some of your households with employment and income. If you are in a job where they've basically sent everybody home, there's no way to work and have an income during this time, we really want to make sure that you're cared for and provided for as the body of Christ and your neighbors as well. So please reach out to me and Jack. We'll have some contact information here in a minute. Reach out to us and let us know if you or your family need help with groceries or paying utilities, any type of benevolence type needs. Please keep us informed so that we can help you because we are all in this together. Also, so for next Sunday, this meeting, virtual meeting, was pre-recorded. But for next Sunday, we're going to try doing a live service through an application called Zoom. And we chose that because YouTube wouldn't let us live stream unless we had 1,000 followers on our website. We don't have 1,000 people in the church. We don't have 1,000 followers. Not everybody has Facebook Live and access to that, and we couldn't record it. So we chose to use the app called Zoom, and we're going to try that for the first week. So I'm going to send out some instructions this week how you can install the app on your phone, your tablet, your computer, or you can simply just dial in from your landline even if you want it. We'll send those instructions out this week, and also we'll have a web page updated on the church website. I'm not sure how many of you use the church website. It's newsong.family. There's no www or .com, anything like that. It's just newsong.family. Go to that website and you'll have all the information you need there to find out how to join us. And I would encourage you to try to join a little early. I know typically on a Sunday morning, people are still strolling in at 10:15. But
no.
I've seen it, just one or two here and there, I've noticed, yeah. So please join us next Sunday and the following Sundays at 10 a.m. as usual. We'll have some type of an online meeting capability there. If you just visit the website, show up a little bit early, get connected. Also, the prayer open house, you notice that was on the things we canceled, but we can pray over the phone. So we'll hopefully be sending out some instructions as well, how you can connect virtually and dial in to an online prayer meeting. And then let's see, what else? So typically at this time, we would have somebody come up front and give some announcements and take the offering. How do we do that when we meet remotely? Well, it's actually very easy, a couple different ways. So if you go to the church website, up on one of the links at the top, it says Contact Us. Underneath there is a prayer request link. You can actually type in the web form a prayer request, like just like your blue card here at the church. And that's one easy way to do it. You can also email prayer@newsong.family to email in your prayer requests. And Dennis is the one who sends out those emails. He's requested that you get those to him by noon on Sunday. And anything that he has by noon on Sunday, he'll send out that week. And you're welcome to send him anytime through the week, but around noon on Sunday is when he's going to put that email together to send it out for our prayer list. So we can still stay in touch and pray for one another through our prayer ministry here at New Song. So send those to prayer@newsong.family or use the web form under the contact link on the website. Also, how can I give to the church right now if we're not passing an offering basket? Many of you already use our online giving, and that's at the church website. There's a giving link at the top, and it shows you how to access the Easy Tithe, and you can do that either from a web app on the browser on your computer, your tablet, your phone, or you can actually install the Easy Tithe app on your smartphone and give that way as well, credit card or bank info. And that's all secure. We don't see any of that information. It's all secure online, managed by this other company that's got the HTTPS. It's all secure. So a lot of people do that. That's how I do my personal giving. I have my bank account set up that way because the credit card has a little bit of a fee associated with it that the church has to pay to process it. The bank account information is a little bit lower fee there. Or you can just simply go old school and write a check and mail it to the church. That would be just fine as well. You can use the 13873 National Road in Reynoldsburg, Ohio, 43068 address. That's on the website. You can use that address and just mail it to the church as well. Also, if you have any concerns, you can talk about prayer requests or anything, some of you have our phone number, some of you don't. They're in a bulletin each week. Jack and I, we have our phone numbers in there, our email addresses. Also, we'll just make it really easy. You can simply email pastors@newsong.family, and that'll send an email to both of us. And or you can email Ashley@newsongfamily or Jack@newsong.family, either one if you want to just reach one of us individually. So plenty of ways for us to stay in contact using technology these days. So keep your eye out this week for an email from us with more information on how to connect with the prayer meeting on, I believe that's Tuesdays, right?
Right.
Okay, Tuesdays on Tuesdays at 10. So we'll have information how you can join, dial in to a virtual prayer meeting. And also keep your eye out for instructions on how to join us in a live format next Sunday. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to take these recordings and also post them to YouTube so you can watch them later, and we'll upload the audio to the podcast. That's our plans anyway, to do that. So if you use the podcast app on your phone, you can still listen to it that way as well.
If I may, let me also add something about prayer and the meeting, the Tuesday prayer meeting. I just want to encourage each one of you to initiate. I want to challenge you to think about one other person that you can just show care and love to just call and say, hey, I'm just checking on you. Can I pray with you? Maybe the person is anxious. Maybe they're not anxious. Maybe everything's fine. Then, okay, both of you go to the Lord together and pray for our country. President Trump has declared tomorrow, well, no, sorry, we're recording this on Saturday.
Yeah.
So it's today for those of you watching Sunday. So it's National Day of Prayer. And the Southern Baptist Convention has also joined, and I imagine other denominations as well, probably viewing today, Sunday, the 15th of March, as a national day of prayer in regard to this situation. So as much as I applaud and am for the idea of, yes, share your prayer requests, send them in, we know that prayer is more than just asking God for stuff. It is about crying out to him. It is about repenting of our sins. It is about repenting for the sins of our nation. It is about asking God to give us more the mind of Christ, to grasp what is the height, length, breadth, depth, to know the love of God. Those prayers that we see or we read about that Paul prayed, that Jesus prayed in John 17. Prayer is quite a huge aspect of our lives. And I just want to encourage you to not wait for someone to ring you up, but you pick up the ball and you consider, is there one person that I just want to show them love? They're not going to have this Sunday morning experience where they have the human contact. And I just want to do my part to really be the body and care for the other members. So consider one person at least this week that you can call and encourage and say, hey, let's pray together. Would you do that?
Yeah. You want to go ahead and close in prayer?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Lord, whoever would have thought that just a few weeks ago, things would be where they are in this moment. How quickly our whole world has plunged into a situation that in our lifetime, we've really not been in before. And we want to have the balance, Lord. We want to be like Abraham. He considered his own body now as good as dead in the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with regard to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. We want to be realists, Lord. We want to look at the situation. We don't want to give in to hysteria. Neither do we want to minimize what is a very serious situation, even though it may not result in the number of deaths that some people predict. Still, people are being affected by this. People are losing wages and being hurt financially. So I just pray, no matter what part of the spectrum we're on, you'd help us to have the mind of Christ in these things. Lord, help us to care effectively for one another. Help us to display and live the love that we've experienced from you. Thank you for your precious Holy Spirit that you've given to empower each of us to take the next step, whatever that is, however insignificant it may be at the time, help us to simply take the next step in faith as we lift up faith's shield and thus glorify you and make you happy. That's our desire, Lord, to please you. When you come back, Jesus, we want you to find faith on the earth. We want you to find at least the members of New Song. I can't control what goes on in any other part of the kingdom, but Lord, in our family, in our New Song family, Lord, we want to be found by you living in faith. Help us in these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yes. Well, so we'll see you online each Sunday. And in the meantime, stay in touch. You can use the email addresses we provided earlier, prayer@newsong.family or pastors@newsong.family. And we'll see you soon.